that honesty. Glimpses of truth ask for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I investigate the ongoing spiritual revolution that's happening in this country and around the world. And by spirit or spirituality, I mean the sensing and the awareness that we exist on many dimensions than just the physical. There's much more to us than what we see. And tonight's guests are very much in alignment with that. The first guest I have up is Eliza Mada Dalian, and we're going to be talking about her healing method, her awakening, and everybody's favorite latest subject, 2012, what's happening in 2012. Eliza, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Alan.
Thank you. Yes, when I talk to your producer, the people that promote you, they've said that you came up with you had an awakening experience where you realized who you really were. Can you tell me about that experience and what happened to you?
There were a few experiences leading up to a more profound, like a Big Bang experience, what I call it. The first experience was realizing that suddenly just coming to realization that I was not my body, I was not my emotions, I was not my thoughts, and although my body was moving, there was simply emptiness.
But how did you get to realize that you weren't your body? Something must have happened
in a meditation. It happened in one of Osho's meditations called Kundalini. And it was during the dancing phase. It's a meditation with four phases, which involves shaking, and second phase is dancing. So during the dancing phase, as I was moving, suddenly the movement was happening, but there was nobody moving. Mm. And there was no thought. There was no emotion. There was just that sense of presence, the emptiness, the beingness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite strange because I was quite aware that my hands are moving, my legs are moving, but nothing else is moving. And
you found a stillness inside you, a silence. Is that a peace?
Well, no. You know, it's the stillness I have experienced many times in meditation. That's different to this experience where nothing, within the movement, nothing was moving.
Mm.
So it's hard to describe, really, how these things happen, but just that awareness that you're pure awareness and there's nothing else that exists and everything is just an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first experience.
Did that stay with you? Was that just a momentary thing or is that an ongoing thing?
Well, no, it lasted for some time.
Mm-hmm.
The awareness of it, however, the experience itself, there was a beginning and an end to it. However, the awareness of suddenly realizing the illusion, it's permanent. Once you realize it, you cannot become unconscious of the truth any longer.
So what exactly did you become conscious of in that moment that, I mean, I know it's hard to put into words, but I mean, not just the movement, but there was a higher level of awareness that an eternal existence, would you say that?
Well, the consciousness is that the being of the trees, the being of the stars, the being of every single person on this planet, the animals, the desk, the chair, anything material, the being within everything material that we see is exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Everything that we see and that exists is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that thing is, you're saying. It's,
It's that thing, I call it emptiness.
Okay.
So you cannot really put words to emptiness. It's within that emptiness there's consciousness.
Mm. So it's empty. Okay, so you found this, some people call it presence, maybe, that this thing is.
It even transcends presence.
Mm.
Yes, there is presence, but it transcends presence. And the transcendence of presence is, in a sense, realization that everything is. It's almost like coming to recognize the primordial existence where everything started from.
And you were also part. But what is this thing that's recognizing the primordial existence? That's the interesting question.
It's what Krishnamurti calls the observer and the observed becoming one.
Mm. Mm.
So you recognize you are it.
Mm-hmm. So
there's no longer a separation between what is and your own existence, your consciousness, which is not just, you can't even call it my consciousness, my existence, because there's a realization that there's only one consciousness.
So did you then, you said that experience stayed with you, but did that state of awareness stay with you? Because then you don't have an identity, a single identity. I mean, how did you reintegrate into the world and how are you now?
Well, the more profound experience happened some years later.
Oh, okay, let's go to that. Okay.
And that one was a recognition, actually what I experienced in that experience, and that again happens through one of Osho's active meditations called Dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And during that experience, what happened is my entire body turned into light. And it felt like there were thousands of lights suddenly burst within the body and burned the body. And again, the same experience of there was no longer a body. And the awareness that the whole universe is actually made of substance, which is called joy.
Joy.
Joy. And that joy is connected to creation.
Mm-hmm.
So the joy of creation is what moves everything that's happening in the universe. All movement is to do with creation. So, and within the movement, there is joy.
Mm. That was a realization.
Oh, I think that was hugely profound, even more profound than the first one, because
right.
I felt for a moment it was like the whole universe entering into my body. And the experience was so huge that if I hadn't learned through many years to ground my awareness in my body, I wouldn't have been able to stay in the body because it was so tremendously huge. It's like having a tsunami come over you.
Mm.
And just to withhold that, Kabir calls it when the ocean falls into a drop.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the experience.
The ocean falling into a drop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Did that stay with you now? Are you in that place?
The joy is always there. There's always that sense of freedom with it. Of course, when you come into the daily vibration, you need to adapt to day-to-day life. But the thing is, the beauty of knowing the truth, or knowing the reality of having come to face to face with it, there's no longer anxiety within you.
Mm. But you know, you say the universe is made of joy, and I believe that. That's human's experience. I think that's our pure, real state of being. But what about the rest of the? What about like the trees and the grass? Is their state of existence, and the animals? Is their state pure joy as well? I mean, maybe it is.
That's right. It is.
Even
it
though
is.
They might be suffering at times, it's still...
The suffering is only connected with the ego.
Uh-huh. But we animals suffer. I mean,
thing.
Animals don't suffer. Animals suffer because humans inflict suffering.
But animals have been in pain, or is it not? It's not what we. It's not suffering. It's nature. And is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, you mean like animals who live in nature?
Yeah, animals in nature also have suffer.
They live within their essence, so there is no suffering for animals in that sense.
Mm.
Because an animal who gets hunted, knows at some point there's a surrender. They know, okay, I'm going to be killed now. I'm dying. So there's a knowing within the animal, and there's a sense of surrender.
But humans are different, right? I mean, okay, I get that. And so, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm just trying to also bring it back to humans. So, yeah, okay, I get the animal has that peace in that. But humans, we're so different than that as well. Or aren't we?
We're absolutely different. Of course, we have what we call the ego, which animals don't. And the cause of our suffering is the ego, in a sense.
But I think I've heard you say we need the ego in order to dismantle the ego. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. So
we need the ego in order to develop consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Because if we don't, if we suppress the ego, we are also simultaneously suppressing consciousness.
So okay, you seem to be pretty happy. You seem to be in that peaceful state. Are you living in that place of joy?
I'm living in a place of joy all the time. In a sense that, like I said earlier, I don't have an inner anxiety.
Uh-huh.
So everything that happens, there is a sense of peace. Regardless of where I am.
But yet there's this ego still. I mean, not in a bad way. You still seem to have an ego personality. I mean, you have a name. You have things you probably like or don't like, you know. Is that true or no?
As long as we're living in the physical body, the ego is going to be there.
Mm. But
the only difference is,
yes.
Well, the only difference is that you're not identified with it.
Oh, okay. I guess that's what we're all trying to learn, to not, because we'll have egos, but to not be identified with the ego. How?
Because the suffering is in the identification.
So when you say not to identify with our history, with our, you know, the stories we tell about ourselves, that kind of thing, is that what you mean?
Exactly. Exactly, yes.
So when we disconnect from our own story, we disconnect from the suffering.
That's right. And to be able to disconnect with anything, you have to be in a state of surrender moment to moment.
What do you mean by surrender, though? I mean,
surrender means that there's an acceptance of what is.
Whatever it is.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, so I think that's sort of the work of Byron Katie. Have you done her process as well? Do you know her?
I know that she has certain questions that she asks. The way I work is I've discovered a method whereby I actually go into the energy directly, see what kind of thought forms are in the energy and in the physical cells, and systematically remove the thought forms and beliefs that are imprinted in the cells and are
and
in the energy.
What do you call that work that you do?
I call my method, it's called DHM, Dalian Healing Method.
And okay, so and you teach people how to go into the thought forms that are residing?
At the moment, I'm in a process of experimenting with, with great success, teaching people how to do it on their own. And I've been amazed at results. Up to now, I've been working with people directly myself. But now, recognizing the power of this method, I'm in the process of creating a DVD and a CD where people can actually do it on their own.
Well, can
because
you just...
I believe...
Yeah,
pardon.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You believe what?
I believe that each person needs to take responsibility for their own transformation. This is the only way every person can be empowered within their own consciousness.
So what would be the method? How could, like, just give us a little taste of what that would be like for people to do this?
Okay, well, what I would do, I would... Normally, I would ask people to bring me a list of four areas, physical, any kind of physical pain or emotional or mental pain, any kind of chronic pain, illness, whatever problems people have. I look at the cause of the problem, first of all, in the unconscious. So if you would like, we can actually do something right now.
Okay, let's do something like that right now.
Sure. Okay. I think that's the best. So
okay,
if you would want to look inside yourself, and if there's been any area that you feel you've been working with and you feel there's somewhere you're still not seeing something and you feel there's still some blockage there that you would like to break through.
Okay,
or
I feel I could
be
more successful in my businesses, and I think maybe I'm not seeing something that might be in the way of that, of me achieving a greater success, you know, more people knowing about what I'm doing, more abundant, all that. But mostly... what I feel I have in the way of my own going forward to the next level is something I feel I'm not seeing, maybe because it's in my subconscious.
Okay.
So tell me your process. What's that?
You've obviously tried to do what you can to find out why.
I've tried different ways. Is it important to know why, or is it important just to move the energy?
If you don't understand why, you cannot become conscious, and the energy cannot move.
Okay. So why?
So,
maybe. Yeah. Okay. So what do you get? Or tell me what your process is.
Well, first of all, what I'm sensing here is what is blocking in your body and in your energy. There's fear in your solar plexus.
Okay. And
so
how would
there's fear
really...
in your soul. Pardon me?
Yeah. No, fear. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's say there. Yeah, okay.
So if there's fear anywhere in the body, and solar plexus is a very important third chakra where... I have to tell you, based on my experience with people, working with people, 99% of humanity is damaged in the solar plexus.
Okay, so how would I heal that, though? Okay.
The way you would heal that is, first of all, I work with breath, and I work with looking at what kind of thought forms are in your energy. So what I would ask you to do, breathe into your belly, take a deep breath, and exhale out of your mouth, exhale out of your solar plexus. And what you need to do now is breathe into the belly and simply say the words, "I'm afraid," and exhale.
So we're acknowledging the presence that is actually there. Okay.
You have to acknowledge the fear, yes.
Okay, okay. I'm not sure what I'm afraid of, but whatever it is, it's there, okay. So let's say, I'll just say. Okay.
So breathe in, say, "I'm afraid," out loud. You have to say it out loud.
Okay, "I'm afraid."
And exhale. And repeat that.
"I'm afraid."
And just continue watching. Continue breathing. "I'm afraid."
It feels like it's getting lighter.
And so I would take you through the whole body with the breath, because there's other thought forms in the body that needs to be released as well. That's how consciousness is going to come forward.
So I could do that on my own, yes?
You need to, there is a system. You have to actually enroll the body. However, even if you do this much, you're going to feel a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
So but, it's getting in touch with whatever emotion is stuck in this different parts of the body. That's what you're saying?
It's getting in touch with the thought forms and the emotions that's stuck in the body, because they're like clouds, and they block the consciousness, they block the seeing, the ability to see what needs to happen, or the ability to put your energy into action.
Is it usually very basic emotions, fear, sadness, anger? It's pretty basic like that?
Yes. Yes.
So when we get in touch with those parts, those emotions in the different parts, and we just acknowledge that they're there, then we can release them.
We need to acknowledge them and we need to express them.
Express
because
them
as a society, we have learned to suppress what we feel. So we suppress our true feelings, true emotions, true thoughts. And what can our poor energy do if there's so many suppressions?
Right.
So we need to learn to express out loud.
I see. Because the loudness is the way to hear ourselves release it.
Yes, and to allow that emotion and that thought to be lived. Because anything unlived cannot, it will just stay there. If you want something if you want to complete something, you have to live it.
So you're saying it's unlived because it's stuck, and when we acknowledge it, it gets to be lived.
Exactly.
Mm, I see. Yeah, I've done some of this work. I think it's very good, very powerful. So thank you for that. But, we could go on. And when you come to New York, we'll do a session, and we'll do it maybe more on television. But what does it all have to do with, also on a planetary level, this idea of 2012 and that transformation that will be happening at that point collectively?
Mm-hmm.
What does all this have to do with that? Can you talk about it on a collective level? Because you have some ideas.
You mean what's going to happen in 2012?
Yeah, what's going to happen? And how does this work relate to that, what's going to happen?
I think it's the way I see the power of this work is that it can release an incredible amount of suppressed energy. It could be almost like an explosion of energy.
Mm.
And I know that when I work with a single person, the transformation, once that energy is released, is just outstanding, in the sense that once consciousness comes in, it erases the whole belief system in the body. And it's not reversible. It's like once you're conscious.
Huh.
And if I can help people to do this on their own, and if millions of people do this in their own home, in their own comfort, this could release a lot of suppressed energy. I think globally we have suppressed energy for a very, very, very long time. For
like what kind of energy do you feel we're suppressed globally?
Well, we're suppressing our consciousness. Everyone's consciousness is suppressed by beliefs, by emotions, by thoughts, by conditionings. And then individually people try to understand and try to break through their intellect, through meditation, using some techniques. But again, it's very, very difficult because everything that is suppressed is in the unconscious.
Mm.
And in order for us to go deeper and transform the unconsciousness, which is very, it's almost a sense of you're entering a dark tunnel. In order for you to enter that dark tunnel, you need some light in your hand. If you have a little bit of light, it becomes easier to enter it. The unconsciousness is that dark tunnel, and transforming the energy and having a little bit of light helps to go deeper and transform more.
Mm.
And like I said, with my experience, where the whole body turns into light, literally.
So did you get rid of all your stuff in there, or do you feel you still go in and do more of your work and, release more?
The learning never ends. Whether we're in the physical form, we leave this body, we move on, the learning never ends. There's continuous creation within existence. However, once you've recognized your core, that awareness, everything else just happens around it and nothing touches you. Of course, things are going to continue happening. But they don't touch you because you know nothing can touch you.
Right, but you know it's all an illusion in a way. It's all a play. But so,
it's all a play, plus you remain a witness to everything.
But also, let's get back to the idea of this collective thing, because you do have some ideas about 2012 and what you think will happen collectively. And so what do you think?
Well, first of all, I'd like to ask you a question.
Please.
And I think this question probably would be relevant for everyone, because everyone is thinking about 2012 these days. And my question would be, why does the year 2012 interest you?
Well, it doesn't interest me particularly. It just interests me because people have said it will be a shift in consciousness, so I'm interested in a shift in consciousness, which is already happening, obviously. People have said, well, and this is my belief, I don't think it's a date of destruction or doom or fear. I think it's a date where maybe the collective will awaken to who they really are, just as the individuals are, just like you have. So for me, it's not that it's a particular date, it's just that it was sort of discovered that perhaps there'll be a change, but who knows? I mean, I think the change is happening as we speak, obviously, in people like you. It's already happened. Does that make sense?
Yes. What I would like to tell people who are thinking about the 2012 is to look first of all inside and identify whether their interest in 2012 is intellectual, or there is something that intuitively they feel they need to do, something to prepare. Because if the interest is only intellectual, it's almost like reading a novel, and nothing really changes within.
Well, let me just answer that for myself. This idea of preparation is not about 2012. It's like whatever I'm doing this program or going to workshops just for myself, it's something, not that I feel I need, but I feel compelled to do. So it's not about 2012 for me. It's my life. It's ongoing. It's just what seems to be the most exciting thing for me to do. So,
that's beautiful, because that's exactly what, you know, that's exactly how you will be able to benefit from this time, this very auspicious time, when you have that kind of an attitude. And I hope many people, and I know many people do have that attitude, because with that attitude is how the possibility of transformation is possible.
But what do you get about this time? Because is there anything specifically that you feel, I mean, I feel personally, let me tell you what I feel, is that there is a vibratory shift in the actual material world, and actually 3D world seems to be somehow, for some reason, changing its frequency, and that is opening up higher levels of perception within the human being and maybe other beings as well.
Definitely happening, yes. And I think what we're faced with right now, humanity has come to the same point 25,000 years ago. And at that time, with the destruction of Atlantis, we...
How do you know that, though? How do you actually know that?
I know this. It's almost like a deja vu for me.
Okay.
So it's a sense that I have, and my sense is that at that time The way I see historically when I look back, there've been many teachers who've come to help raise consciousness on this planet, but they've been scattered and they've been localized. Now, what's happening globally, it's for the first time we have more consciousness on this planet than we've ever had. Mm. And this is because there's many teachers now teaching same thing, consciousness. It's almost like seems to be the buzzword.
Right.
And I think it started, the cycle started 2,500 years ago with Buddha, where he started teaching in India, and it was still a localized teaching, when his teachings started spreading into China and Japan, suddenly the consciousness or the work toward consciousness also started spreading.
Mm. Right.
So with that and with his technique, Vipassana, which is a very profound technique, and it has helped more people to awaken than any other technique up to now. The consciousness now, it's almost like, and thanks to technology that we have at the moment.
Yeah, I think technology is actually opening us up and making it easiest for all of us to connect, obviously.
To connect and also to realize that we're not alone.
Mm. Right.
Because in the past you would feel you're working, you're struggling, you're alone, you're in this little ashram or a monastery. Frankly, I experienced that myself when I was with Osho and living in the ashram. I've been
in
Oregon and in India. Uh-huh. Yes. I felt I was isolated. I felt I was alone in doing this work with the group of people that were there that were doing the work. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would go out into the world, I would feel that the world was completely on a different vibration. Mm-hmm. But now, when I'm in the world, I feel there's so many people are working toward the same thing, and it's not in the ashram localized anymore.
It's becoming
global.
Yeah, isn't that exciting that we're all...
It's absolutely exciting, yes.
This is the first time, and I think this is not a repeat of Atlantis, because I don't think there were that many aware people in the Atlantean times.
That's exactly what I'm sensing, and that's what I was saying, that I feel we have an opportunity to... I don't know if you got to the end of my book, but I have in the epilogue, I had a vision in 1990. And I saw that there was a struggle between the light and the dark, representing the light consciousness and dark, the unconsciousness. And I saw this ball of light in the middle of this huge, vast darkness. And that light represented the light of all the awakened beings.
Mm.
And it seemed very small in comparison to the unconsciousness all around it. And then I saw within seconds there were hundreds of light streams entering that light. It was like a ball of light, and suddenly it grew tremendously in proportion. And it felt like there was a moment of standstill, and it was like, okay, which way is the scale going to tip? There was a balance between consciousness and unconsciousness. And the light ball almost forcibly pulled in the last light stream into it, and with that, the balance was tipped toward consciousness.
Mm.
So in plain terms, consciousness became victorious. So
I think it's true. That is, I think, well, it's obvious something seems to be happening. Just the word consciousness is being used by more and more people. So,
yeah.
I wanted to have this other guy join this discussion. His name is Winfrey. He wrote a book about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Do you know about Edgar Cayce?
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
Well, Winfrey wrote a book about David Wilcox, who people think is the reincarnation. But Winfrey's tapped into this whole idea of transformation too. So I just thought it might be nice to have a three-way lively discussion and hear what his take is, because I think, you know, you have your idea, I have my idea. I don't know if any of them are right. They're all pieces of a much bigger thing that we all have just a glimpse of. But so I was going to keep you on the line and ask this other person to join us. Is that good for you?
Lovely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don, Seth, are you there? These are the producers. Can you tap Winfrey in? Seth, did you get that?
Alan?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Is that Winfrey?
It is.
Okay, I'm also on the line with Eliza Dalian, and she's a very insightful being into this process of evolution that we're all in. But why don't you just tell us your background, and then we'll just jump in. So.
Okay. I'm sorry I didn't listen for the first half hour. I didn't.
Oh, I thought you probably were. Okay. Okay. Go.
I didn't know how it was working, so I'm sorry I didn't hear you.
That's okay. It's we'll just fill you in. I mean, basically, Liza tapped into a level of higher consciousness, and she's here, I feel, to awaken other people. And, you know, this is a time of transformation for the planet, and I think that's what you're about. So just give us a little background about yourself and where you fit into this planetary transformation process.
Well, I would say starting in the year 2000, I had read about this, and I'm very empirical. I used to be a physics major at Berkeley. Even though I have intuitions, I use my intuitions, but I wouldn't necessarily trust them on making a major conclusion without being able to have my logical mind validate something as well.
Uh-huh.
So in the year 2000, I discovered the website of David Wilcock. And at that time, he was putting up a lot of readings on his site. And he also made an implication that he had a resonance with Edgar Cayce. He didn't say incarnation up. He said resonance, that was his word. And I had been very influenced by Edgar Cayce, and I started studying Wilcock, and particularly his readings, but also his story, because his story was very compelling. And just using statistics, whether he was the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce or not, he was very connected to Cayce. There was, statistically, all the circumstances tying him to Cayce would be billions, really billions to one. And so maybe I should tell a little bit of that story, because if one is going to decide if you're going to trust somebody's information, it's good to know how they came by it. So, you know, I personally, if somebody was just channeling and said, this is what's happening, I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't disbelieve it. I'd consider it, but I certainly wouldn't integrate it into my reality system and say, well, because Wynn says this and he got a voice talking, I'll believe this.
But for the purpose of this conversation and for Eliza, I think, to jump in, is to understand where does this all fit into a personal transformation and also planetary transformation.
Okay. Well, again, let me give a tiny bit of credibility, because I have ways of understanding things that are a little different than I hear a lot of other people saying. And I just don't say, here's the way it is, without giving. I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'll do this really fast, Alan, okay? What time? 8:30, 36 minutes.
Right.
You know, Cayce was the most credible documented psychic in history. So if Wilcock was Cayce, then his channelings immediately have some degree of credibility with me. So David was living in New Paltz, New York. He was starting to write his dreams down. In the morning, when he looked at his dreams, he found messages, like there was someone talking to him. And first he thought he was making it up, and a week later, one of these messages predicted something in the future. And then for the next year, he was fascinated. He had no idea. He called it his dream voice. He was getting all these messages, many with predictions and many more with wisdom. And this voice told him to move to Virginia Beach, or ask them if he would move to Virginia Beach, which he did. And Virginia Beach is where the Casey Institute is. And people started stopping David and saying, God, you look just like a young Edgar Casey. And sure enough, he did. So he asks his voice, why do I look like Casey? And his voice tells him, because you were Casey. If you study Casey, you'll see the parallels. But this lifetime, if you're going to do your highest purpose, you're not going to do past life readings and health readings. You're going to explain the shift that's happening to your planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then David starts studying Casey. He finds out not only does he look like Casey, but his father looks like Casey's father. His friend looked like Casey's wife. Casey made a prediction in his own readings that he would return in 1998, live in Virginia Beach, and maybe a liberator of the world. And
okay.
David's down in Virginia Beach, and it's the end of 1997, and all this is happening for him. Plus, his astrology chart, his five personal planets were in the same sign as Casey's. One chance in 260,000.
Okay.
So now, you know, he's got all these readings, and sometimes, he's a public figure now, and he doesn't really put his readings out as his first foot forward. So I'm not going to say that I endorse everything David is saying now. I'm not endorsing it. I can only say in the period that I studied Casey, and of course, I'm going to not even talk about what happened to me because we don't have enough time. Some other time, okay. I should. But what is happening is that we are at the end of a 75,000-year cycle. And there's an energy that most spiritual people are familiar with, which they call prana, Holy Spirit, orgone energy, vibes. There's a metaphysical energy that when people see auras, they're seeing that energy. Well, this energy is something that pervades the entire universe, and it's actually the basic building block of matter. Matter is compressed of this energy. We are made of that energy compressed. Well, this end of a 75,000-year cycle means this energy that I'm talking about is at its highest peak in the history of mankind. Highest peak in 75,000 years. And it's causing a lot of things to happen, and a lot of transformation to happen. Planets are going through changes. There's Earth changes. There's weather changes. And most important, the Earth is going through a major upgrade, a major shift in chakra language. The Earth, which is a conscious being, is going from third chakra to fourth chakra, which means that the paradigm on Earth is upgrading to a heart-based planet.
Huh.
And
Let me see if Eliza can respond to that, because I think what you're saying about this matter may be what you were calling joy. Do you have anything to say, Eliza?
Well, I agree that, as I was saying earlier, the 99% of humanity is damaged in the third chakra, and the only way we can actually start living the Christ consciousness is when we are able to live through the heart. And yes, I feel what's happening now with the destruction. In a sense, there is going to be a destruction. Destruction is going to be of the emotional, mental, and physical reality, because the old paradigm with the old conditionings and the old belief systems and the way we have learned to manipulate, or the power the people who wanted the worldly power have learned to manipulate majority of humanity. All those powers are being on the way to destruction right now. And in a sense, that's going to open a possibility of that transformation from the third to the fourth chakra. And anything that involves transformation requires a surrender of something or other. So the surrender will be the surrender to everything material, emotional, and mental that we're normally attached to. So it's going to destroy our attachment to the world. And unless it's almost like unless something is ripped out of our hands and taken and the earth shakes, we seem to be very stubborn. We don't seem to learn. And this is going to help many people to suddenly wake up and see that everything is temporary. They're going to realize that nothing, I cannot take anything with me. And really what matters is that connection in the heart. That's the only way this transformation I see is possible. And so in a sense, if there is a destruction, it's not a negative thing. It's like a farmer, you need to till the ground before you could put new seeds in.
Right.
We need some kind of a weeding. So that we can actually put new seeds of new consciousness and the consciousness that can start living, having, I call it the way of the heart. So the way of the heart can become more of a lifestyle than the fight that we normally have for power.
Right. So, Winfrey, you would agree with that, but I also think you have another piece in there with the information you've been getting as well, right?
Well, I would agree with it and with a couple stipulations, okay? And, Eliza, I'll tell you, the information, this is not information that I could come up with myself, so I share this based on David Wilcox challenge and my own experience of cross-referencing lots and lots of stuff of channels and otherwise. And in general, what you're saying is exactly right. And one of the unusual things about this period, since the universe allows free will, a human has to free will choose to uplift their vibration to this higher realm. It's not going to happen automatically. And the unique thing about this period is because the energy is so high that every intention that a person has is vastly magnified. In the old days, they built a pyramid to amplify the energy so people could have these higher levels of initiation. Now our entire planet would be the equivalent of really constant, the kind of energy you would find in a pyramid. But it still requires a human to, one of the hardest things for people is to say, okay, you've got to open your heart. And if somebody doesn't find a community of people to associate with open hearts, they're going to have a challenge because a heart needs another heart to open, at least at the beginning, as a reference point. After a while, a human can hold it and then just hold it no matter where they are. But for people
but the other part is, I think what Eliza's work is so interesting is we may think we have a free will, but if things are blocked unconsciously in it, in our bodies, then the free will that we think we have is not free because it's trapped. Would you say that, Eliza, from your work?
Yes, exactly. Even if we think we have the free will, we don't because our fears undermine it.
Absolutely.
And we need to. Basically, consciousness is what would transform the state that we're living in right now. And the only way that I discovered, and this is practical knowledge that I'm speaking about, as I worked with thousands of people with my method, is the moment what is suppressed in the energy is expressed out loud, the transformation of consciousness is automatic. So it's even though people have that will and they have the intent and they come to me and they say, I've tried everything and I still feel I'm stuck. I'm not seeing something. I can't break through. The moment that what is suppressed in the energy is expressed, the consciousness automatically comes and transformation happens without an effort. And this is the beauty of it, that it's so instantaneous.
So, Winfrey, from your perspective, does that make sense? Or is there something that you're seeing also?
I think that what she is saying is, I see the truth in that. She has a technique to work with people, right?
Yes.
And I know that when a person says something that they're afraid to say about themselves, kind of like confession. That would be the old religious way of doing it.
Or even unconscious. They don't even know they have it.
Yeah. Well, when they can surface something in their unconscious, usually they have an aha experience, but it takes a lot of work to anchor it on a cellular level. Like, for example, I learned many years ago that my father in this life had killed me in another life. And I grew up with feeling very oppressed and rejected and worthy, because he didn't like having me around. And so when I knew that, I knew it was true. I could feel the energy of it, and it surfaced it for me. But the energy of being brought up in that family took me years to take it from, you know, my unconscious understanding to the conscious and to actually release it on a cellular level.
Mm.
So only a good start. And
well, I think this is the work of planetary transformation, where it starts with each individual, you know.
Hello?
You know, every cell in the body, every...
Well, if I may actually add to that, that's beautiful, and this is why I'm so excited about this method, is because I actually found a system where we can ground the consciousness on the cellular level, which then erases those old, the old belief systems.
Mm.
And with this, it's almost like you suddenly wake up from a dream. And once you awake, you know you've been dreaming, so you know it was a dream. Therefore, it has no longer any hold on you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Winfrey, with your work with the channels that you're working with, do you have a method as well that affects people in this transformational way, or is it similar?
Actually, I am doing what I'm. What, the way that I work this is, I am doing. I put together a system where people can work it, and I don't charge for it. It's free. And it's a multi-tiered system. And it starts off with something I call message a day, where I have taken a little piece of the cosmic puzzle from all the channelings and put them together as a story that every day a person gets an email. And after about 4 to 6 weeks, people are emailing me back and saying, wow, I can feel this. This is changing me. And then I have conference calls 3 times a week where channels, and I don't think I can do this on this call. If I'm on again, I'll do this.
We'll do another show, but what exactly is changing people? I'm not sure what you mean.
You know what? It's what it is people, many, many people have a history of thousands of lives, not only on this planet, but in other realms, and even connections with these group souls. And once they're in this life, they have amnesia. They don't remember anything. And it's kind of like in these daily messages, when people read them, because there's I believe there's a lot of truth to this explanation, and it is a new explanation for how the universe works. It's like bits and pieces of other people, but this is more comprehensive. It's triggering cellular memories because it wakes up the amnesia, and people are saying, aha. And when they start doing that, they start coming into my conference calls. And now this is something, if I don't do it, I try to make it verbal, but I don't know if I can explain it, but I'll try. It's kind of like if I'm anchoring the energy of a higher dimension in my space, and I do a conference call, I can bring that energy into the call through my high intention so other people can feel it.
Well, can you do it right now so we can feel it?
You know what? There's not enough... Not enough, you know what, not enough time, and I need to build up to it. I could do it. I do it all the time.
Okay, we'll do another show where we'll do that for sure.
But I get emails from people all over the world saying I could feel the energy. And what's happening is, at least the way I interpret it, is we all know there's a field, and we all know potentially we can extend it to that field. And as a human, you're cut off and you're compressed. So if I can bring that field energy in and other people can feel it, what happens is there's an automatic healing process that takes place when someone expands, because now they're expanding above their problems. They're expanding above the issues. So they can kind of look down on it from an airplane, and it's unless you experience this, it's hard to put into words, but I this was experimental on my part, because I'm talking to I can't tell the stories. I'm talking to these group souls that are in these really high dimensions, and I said, I wonder if I do this, if that'll happen, and I kept experimenting to how to work it, and now I get emails from people halfway around the world, even in China, that are listening to my calls, even to the recordings of them, and they say, my God, I can feel the energy. So I would suggest, if you subscribe to Message A Day, it's messageaday.net, you'll also get invitations to my conference calls, and it's all free. I set this up so, you know, right now there's a couple thousand people, but it could actually have a million people, and it would work with all those people.
Messageaday.net, they'll be able to tap into this collective energy that you're bringing in. Is that what you're saying?
And they'll also get the verbal messages. They'll get messages every day. They'll get invitations to conference calls. And I can only say that from the emails I get from people's experiences, it's working. And I can do it on your show. I could do it sometime with the people that are listening, but I need more time to build up to it.
Okay, we'll do that. Well, Eliza, do you get this idea of these higher dimensional beings and these group souls also helping at this time?
Every little bit counts. That's what I was saying earlier, that there is more awareness now. At least people know that there is more... more awareness in terms of the need to know thyself. What I also notice happens many times, people, where they get really stuck is where they try to put responsibility, or they don't take responsibility for their own transformation. And what I mean by that, in order for true transformation to happen, each person needs to take responsibility for their own for their own transformation. In other words, they need to look inside. They need to look at their fears. They need to look at their thoughts. They need to look at their emotions. And they need to accept them, to acknowledge them, and take a step, a necessary step, to face whatever they've been oblivious of or unconscious of. So, and in my view and in my experience, the only way a true transformation can happen if you face your fears, that's the ultimate head of the dragon, And the ultimate fear is the fear of survival, fear of death. And unless we do that, so everything is a preparation to that point. And once we can face the head of the dragon, which is the fear of survival, because of that fear, everything that we are identified with and hold on to, we think that this is real. That's how we stay identified with the world, which is temporary and it's an illusion. So if we want to break out, we need to go through the fear, and each person can only do it for themselves. This is the thing. We can help, we can provide the supportive environment, which, as I understand, is happening with this course, but ultimately, people need to understand that they need to take the step, because if it was possible for Buddha to enlighten thousands of people around him, he would have done it.
Right. Everyone needs to do their own work. I totally agree.
Exactly. This is where the free will comes in, too, right?
Winfrey, any final concluding words about, you know, the process and what you feel we can do individually and collectively now?
You know what? I wanted to comment on what Eliza said, which I agree with. And sometimes when you talk about these high energies coming in and even channeling.
Winfrey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. We just have to wrap it up because the next program's coming up.
So the final word here is that ultimately, in the field, we are all one energy, subdivided. And the key to evolution is to move into the experience, not the belief, but the experience, where you can see yourself in other people, which automatically triggers compassion, where even these high beings that talk to me from other realms are actually extended parts of me. And that is the way to understand that you don't die, your energy continues, and that there's nothing to be afraid of. But it's easier said.
Part of the process. We'll continue this conversation in another point at another show, but I want to thank you both for being a guest on New Realities. I've been talking to Winfrey, the author of, and Eliza Dillion, whose website is...
Madadalion.com.
Madadalion.com. Your website, Winfrey, is what?
MessageAday.net. And by the way, if you sign up, you'll get messages from some of the channelings, David Wilcock.
Thank you both. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and if you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for listening, and listen next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Winfrey.
Thank you.